as we turn to look closer at the passage in 1 Corinthians, let's ask God for help. Father, we thank you for your word. And as we look into it, we ask that you'd work by your Spirit, applying it into our lives, to our hearts, so that we might live for you more. Jesus' name, Amen. Selena Gomez is one of the best known singing and acting performers. She's got her own cooking program, acts in Murders in the Building, voiced Mavis in the Hotel Transylvania film franchise, has her own beauty products, and has an enormous following. She's close friends with Taylor Swift. And when she lost her boyfriend of several years, a few years back, who decided to promptly marry someone else, she probably gained fans. She struggled to handle her mental health and been very public about it to help others. But part of her fame means having to handle photographers wherever she goes. And one of the funnier videos is when she stopped at a petrol station and realized after opening the door and getting out that the petrol pump was on the opposite side to the opening in the car. So rather than get back in the car to sort it out as you or I would do, and she instead asked one of the people following her to do so. Obviously it created a photo opportunity for them, but they had work to do for it. Just to do a little bit of driving to earn their living. And she could put it up on YouTube for her fans. She's worked out her freedoms, how to use them in her work. She's worked at a relationship with the photographers. And what she can and can't do. And in the passage today, Paul's talking all about people's rights, people's freedoms. How he uses his, especially in how he works and in his relationships. And then he applies this to the Corinthians and their lives. Paul's just told them that they're to use their freedoms for their brothers and sisters. Not to potentially wound them or make them doubt their faith. And has said he'd give up eating meat to help others. And now Paul switches more personally to himself, to his relationship with them, and how he lives. Verse 1 of chapter 9. Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are you not the result of my work in the Lord? Even though I may not be an apostle to others, surely I am to you, for you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. This is my defense to those who sit in judgment on me. Paul points out that he's free, he's been sent, he's seen Jesus, and their faith is a result of him being sent. Apostle means one sent as a messenger. And that is Paul to them. One sent by God to them. And because they believed his message, the church was founded. The message he gave, the good news of Jesus, brought results. Many in Corinth believed. To them, he clearly has the authority of any of the apostles. Now, obviously this doesn't mean that someone who explains the gospel to us and brings us to belief is always right. But it does mean that they're worth treating with respect. And Paul goes on to explain himself, to give a defense of his behavior before applying how he behaves to their situation. It seems that some in Corinth totally misunderstood him not taking payment for him. They thought it signaled his weakness, that his speaking was too poor to deserve payment. And as such, that's why they were so keen on Apollos returning, as he fulfilled all their human requirements as a speaker, some of which that Paul didn't. So Paul lists a set of rights, things that he could have taken in his life, food and drink that he could have asked the Corinthians to provide, a believing wife, like the other apostles, including Peter. Yet, he chose to be single. He chose to work with his hands as a tent maker, a leather worker, when among the Corinthians. In fact, Paul never took money from the places he was visiting. They might contribute later to his stay elsewhere, so he could preach the gospel without working, but he did not want to be making a living from those he was trying to convert without actually earning it separately from the gospel. Paul goes on to point out that soldiers get paid, they don't serve at their own expense, those who plant vineyards eat the grapes, those who milk cows drink the milk. That even in Deuteronomy, it speaks of not muzzling an ox that is treading out grain. So the ox can eat while treading the grain. And Paul argues that this is not just about the ox. Both the ploughman and the thresher, the one who separates the grain from the stalks, plough and thresh in the hope of sharing in the harvest. They get their share. But if that's the case, surely those who sow spiritual seed have the right to receive materially. Verse 14. In the same way, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel. Some of us are paid to preach the gospel. I earn my living preaching and speaking about the excitement of the good news, about Jesus, about him coming to explain who God is and demonstrate how to live as part of his kingdom, about him dying as our king for all the times we go our own way, for all the times we reject, we forget about, we ignore God. Dying to take God's wrath, to take the punishment, so that we might share in Jesus' righteousness. We might be seen as having a righteousness that's not our own, but comes from faith in Jesus, and therefore be welcomed into God's kingdom, sharing in it along with Jesus. That's why we're here. That's what Paul preached. That's what I seek to preach, and am privileged to be paid to do so. I'm really thankful for that. As when I do not have quite as many practical issues, like buildings, it gives me much more time and chance to speak of the good news, encourage others to come to Jesus and grow in him. Because for all of us, that ought to be our priority, knowing Jesus, growing in him. Does not mean that in the past I've not preached the gospel and told people about it. I've worked in prisons, I've helped set up an interchurch project for the disadvantaged in Hong Kong that helps them while proclaiming the gospel to them. But for paid workers, there's so much more freedom of time when you've paid to do it, to actually work for the church. Now, Paul has the right to be paid, has the right to get far more freedom of time, but he's not used his rights. He's set them aside, so he has to work hard for his living. As well as working hard, preaching the gospel. And even now, Paul refuses to use these rights. He prefers to work, even though he's also compelled to preach, because he knows all that Jesus has done for him. Why? Well, verse 18 says, "What then is my reward? Just this, that in preaching the gospel, I may offer it free of charge, and so not make use of my rights in preaching it. Though I'm free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible." Paul's seeking to offer the gospel to people for free. They do not have to pay for his ministry to them. They can pay for him ministering to others. The Philippians did when he was in Rome, supporting him there. At times, the support enabled the spread of the gospel, though Paul was in chains. But Paul never accepted payment from the people he was ministering to. Jesus gave to us freely what we do not deserve. Paul was making sure the message of the good news was free, that others had that opportunity. And Paul goes on that he'll do this by whatever means necessary, as long as he can do it in service to his God. He'll become like those around him. Missionaries often have to learn to eat like the culture around. Certain cultures eat curries with their right hand, for example. Not try and request cutlery, request implements when others don't have them. The ways in which they're supposed to be different are because of the gospel, not cultural differences. And Paul says, to Jews, he'll be a Jew. To those under the law, he'll act under the law, under rules and regulations, though he and the message he represents are not, in order to win them to the way of grace. To those not under the law, he'll be similar to win them to the rule of Christ, who he is under. To those he'll be weak, who are weak, he'll be weak. But all of this is for a purpose, to save people into the kingdom, into the one kingdom of God. Paul's got a direct purpose. If we employ someone, there should be a reason. Normally they're to do a specific job. People in a sports team have a specific role that they're following. Cricket, either a batter, a bowler, a wicketkeeper, an all-rounder. Or in football, there are different roles. They're the obvious stars who have the ball all the time. But also, those who do the hard yards, who stop the opposition from scoring, or having opportunities to score, who may not be as noticeable, but the team cannot do without. They're there to achieve a purpose, and Paul has a direct purpose. Verse 22. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Paul lives for the sake of the good news of Jesus. His purpose is to save some, and to make sure that he's saved and shares in its blessings at the end of his life. It's not about career or earning money. It's not about getting up in this world. His aim's to serve Jesus. He compares it to an athlete training for elite competition. It's strict. So strict, one athlete going to the Winter Olympics said that when you came across anything, you had to ask the question, will it help me win gold? Will this ice cream help me win gold? And when the answer was no, not eat it. Amy Williams won gold in the skeleton. She made her body her slave, achieved her goal. And Paul, looking for a much, much greater prize, a prize that will last eternally, says in verse 27, no, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I've preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Paul's making sure that he gets his prize. Much, much more important than winning an Olympic medal, even a gold medal. A prize of a place in God's kingdom. Now, let's be clear. Not all of us are Paul's. In fact, I'd be surprised to see anyone like him in a congregation. So how does this apply to us? Well, despite the fact we've got different lives to Paul, our focus, our choices, should still reflect the same priority of living for the gospel. For me, seeking to preach and proclaim it in extending the kingdom. For you, or being God's representatives in this world, representing Jesus to those around us. We can and should enjoy life, but ultimately our goal is a place in God's kingdom like Paul, so we should live like it. We should copy Paul in that priority. Paul then goes on to talk about the Israelites coming out of Egypt when God would go before them, as a cloud by day and with a flame in the cloud by night, when God provided food and water, twice bringing water from the rock. Yet Paul says, they like us were provided for and able to drink from all Jesus provided. 10 verse 3. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. They, like us, had the opportunity to partake in Jesus. Even though Jesus had not come to earth as a man, they still had opportunity, like us, to receive all he promises, to be a part of his kingdom. And yet many of them worshipped idols and were destroyed. Some, as we read, committed sexual immorality. The peoples around were persuaded to worship their so-called gods, and because of that, were destroyed. This was only one example of many of them rebelling against God, of deliberately going their own way, without any regard for God, dismissing him. And sadly, rejecting Christ's sacrifice for their sin, leading to their destruction. And Paul says we should learn from it. 10 verse 11. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. The examples of the past should remind us that others have fallen. When we think that we're okay in ourselves, we need to remember the past. Paul continues, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out, so that you can stand up under it. Therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry." First, Paul makes an effort to not just address the so-called strong who think they can do anyone, but also to assure those facing temptation that God's there with them, that he'll provide a way through. So we do not have to give way to the world. When we face temptation, things we know we should not do, we can rely on our God and he'll look after us. We can trust him and stand for him. And then Paul applies this to the matter at hand. Firstly, the temple meals. They're meals to other gods. While the gods may not exist, other fit spiritual forces do. There are angels, there are demons. And we cannot join together in worshipping demons, partaking in worship of idols. The problem's not the food that's defiled, but we're joining with others, worshipping idols, worshipping other gods, and it's demon worship, just as the Israelites in the desert did. Now, this seems obvious. We cannot partake or be seen to take part in meals or worship to other gods if we're in someone's home. It's a bit different. We can eat whatever's put in front of us in good conscience, unless they emphasize that by doing so, we're worshipping other gods. Here, saying it's been offered in sacrifice and suggesting we're worshipping other gods. Then the believer has to stand out. Again, this isn't very likely to happen to us, but how does this apply? We need to be clear what we stand for. When we're asked to do something that we cannot as a Christian do in good conscience, we walk away from it. We cannot cause others to stumble or stumble ourselves. As Paul says in verse 31, "So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the Church of God, even as I try to please everyone, body in every way. For I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." Our actions should seek God's glory. Yep. Gossip might be perhaps one of the examples of something we shouldn't do, slandering others. And we should walk away from that. But our actions should seek God's glory. We need to represent him to those around, copy Paul's examples, others' examples as they copy Jesus, to seek to save some for the kingdom. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you'll work in our lives so we might be more and more committed to you, that it would show in our relationship with others, that they'd see something of you in our lives, that we'd stand for you, and that people would see your kingdom. Jesus' name. Amen.